Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum to you, our distinguished radio audience. It's Tuesday again, and we had a few technical glitches getting on tonight, so please pardon the delay in getting on the air. But we made it all, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, we made it. All praise to Allah. So we'll get started with tonight's program. And as always, we start with Al-Fatiha in Arabic and then in English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amin. And in English, we're saying, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen. Alhamdulillah. So we thank you for being here with us this evening and joining us and for your patience. So praises due to Allah. We'll open up our mic to our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and extend to her the greetings of peace of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, better now that we're on the air. So alhamdulillah. You know,
yeah,
whatever can go wrong will go wrong sometimes, huh?
Yep, I was not panicking. I knew you were going to be working through it, so I didn't even. I was just like, waiting. Let me just wait.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so we'll get started. Last week we compiled a list while we were on the series of 100 reasons why a man would want to propose. But as we stated during the course of that presentation, the list that we did find was actually from a woman giving 100 reasons why she wanted to marry her husband. And we found that many of those reasons could go for both male and female. But during the course of that, those broadcasts and the input from our Muslim brothers that were on the line, we were able to compile a list strictly from Muslim men as to why they would want to marry their wives or why they did marry their wives and the qualities that they thought were very important and really made them want to question, would you be my wife? So we had a list of 30 at the end of last week's program, and I added one more, and that one came from the presentation that we gave involving the clip from Brother Yusuf Estes, and one of the reasons why he asked his wife to marry him. He needed a mother for his daughter that he was raising. And the daughter is the one that asked him to ask her daddy. And so we added to that list. It's 31 now. And the last one is that she would be a good mother. I feel that she would be a good mother. And so now we have this list of 31 that we went over. So I wanted to ask you, Bina, what do you think about this list? What do you think about the importance of this list and how it can be used?
I think it's a wonderful list. It's definitely a great starter because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are a lot of reasons that guys have. We just have not gotten to all of them, but it's a beautiful starter definitely for conversations to get into more reasons to even have seminars on to begin to delve even deeper into the whole process, because as any other one of the systems that Allah has, this is a huge system. And, you know, it will take us our whole lifetimes to really get through it, to understand all, well, as much as we can to understand. And alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful starter to get others on board with thinking about why they want to be married, because it's important to think about it. It's not just one of those haphazard things we want to do. It's something that we really need to think and ponder on. So alhamdulillah, it's a great list to get started.
Alhamdulillah, I believe so as well. And I was thinking about how can we utilize this list? How can we get this information to our young men specifically right away? So it's my intention. I'm sorry, Bina, you're just hearing about this. give this list to three of our imams who are working with young people. We're working with the young people and invite them to the show to discuss this list as a panel and use this presentation as a teaching tool for
good idea.
Whether it's camps or to have this material available and audio to different organizations, masjids, schools, as a teaching tool, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And I think that this is one way we can really benefit from this list, and maybe they themselves can even add to this list. So I'll be sending those emails out. I just got everyone's email. I'll be sending the emails out, inviting them to this process this evening, inshallah. So we'll ask you to tune in for further updates on this specific project, because I think it's just so important, because it was just so hard for us to even come up with the information in a documented form when searching for it. So now we have something that we can use, and inshallah we can share it right away. But I would like the presentation to come from the men, going to the men, inshallah, and see how we can build on that and create a very useful tool for our young adult men. Okay. So
absolutely,
we do invite.
If they're not able to have, if they're not able to put that in the classes, or if we're not able, or what other, I'll put it like this, use this language, while we're in the process of developing a system for it to go into the schools, it would be great to be able to have this tool where they're working on it and furthering it, even in the masajid. I know of one program that they have. It's either Philadelphia or in Jersey. They have a night where they have the sisters, the young sisters, and then they have a night where they have the young brothers. And they'll have older women over, you know, talking to the sisters, and the men talking to the younger brothers at certain ages. And they spend the night in the masjid, and they have this long conversation about what it is to be a man, what it is to be a Muslim man, what it is to be a Muslim woman. And there's also a program that they have in Atlanta that I know of called the Rites of Unthra for the young girls, I believe from 13 to 17, where they have a 6-week program for them, which I thought was wonderful and something that can be incorporated. It's not in the school, something that could be a part of every community, because those are in our community, these programs that I'm speaking about, where they can duplicate them and use them in the different areas where we do have massages, and be able to prepare our children. Because this is what we really need to do, is be able to prepare our children so they're not making the same mistakes that we made, so that they have a foundation, so they have someone to say these things to them, as opposed to just growing up and just kind of like tripping into it or stumbling into a situation that may or may not be successful.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, the more information we can get to our young people as quickly as possible, the better. Because the negative influence and the negative thinking is just flooding the airwaves and just really, they have to really fight these influences that are in the environment. We are all a product of our environment, and we thank Allah for those cities that have schools, that have programs like you just mentioned, that can create different environments for our young adults to develop in. It's so vitally important. Just this past week, was when DeLacy and I were watching the news, and they have a report on the news about love bombing and how it's created a 70, I think it was $70 million loss. It was $70 million or $70 billion. I forget which one. But it's a technique that's been used on women to give them this overwhelming sense of love coming from someone who's interested in them, only to lose money, assets, investments in the process. You know, so the fact that in the environment we have people that are so callous and so unaware of the importance of relationships and marriage, it's very important for all of our young people to be highly educated in relationships, first of all, the purpose of them, what is a good relationship, how they invest themselves in relationships, and what Allah has created for us, the plan that Allah has laid out for us and created for us, and that it is a sacred matter. You know, so the more information they can be equipped with as they approach adulthood, you know, the more likely they are to make better decisions and more sound decisions when it comes to choosing a mate to be married to. And we pray Allah that they choose believing men and believing women to be their spouses, but they have to be taught why that's so important in 2024 to choose someone that is on their rank as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build upon Allah's plan, to know the importance of that and what it looks like, inshallah, you know. And this is why we're here every Tuesday on It's All About Courtship and Marriage, because we both know the importance of family life and having a strong family life and a strong foundation with your husband or wife based on Allah's plan. Based on Allah's plan. I mean, when you go through something, you learn some, and you get the lesson out of it. You get the wisdom from it, you know. So we're here to share the wisdom along with our radio audience as they share their wisdom with us as well, that we have attained in our lifetime through living life and through studying, you know. So it's a very important matter. Because as we see in the environment that we live in today, that the spirit, there's a spirit in the environment that is not concerned with humanity, that is not concerned with humanity and being human and having human empathy. We see this spirit in our environment in many different forms. And recognizing that spirit is something that we have to make sure the next generation can see, has an eye to see that clearly, and is grounded in the religion, in Islamic thinking and rationale and knowledge, so that they have the tools and skills needed to navigate in the future, inshallah. You know, so we pray we get a favorable response from those that we send this email out to, and we will keep you updated. We get a as to when this can happen. So,
inshallah.
Do you think we need to? I don't think we need to go over that list again. Do you think so? Or the radio audience can press 1 if they would like for us to go over that list again and read it out again. It's 31 items on that list. And if not, we'll go to a station break and prepare for our next segment. So I got no hands raised, so we're going to take a pause for the calls. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking that if someone does and they're just a little shy about asking about it, that maybe that it could be provided through an email in the future.
Yes.
Or they could always go back to one of the shows, our last show in the archives, and get that information. Or
that'd be great.
That link, yeah.
That'd be great. And that email address is halaqa360@yahoo.com. That's halaqa360@yahoo.com. And we'd be happy to email that out to you if you would like it. Okay? So we're going to take a pause for the calls. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. So we're going to ask you to touch that, don't touch that dial. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Please stick and stay.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And again, we thank you for being here with us this evening. And it's all about courtship and marriage. So what I'd like to discuss this evening is the why choosing our mates. Why choosing our mates is so important. And especially in this day and time, how vitally important it is to choose wisely and to choose a mate that will influence, help influence and increase you in a manner that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not someone pulling you toward the world or focusing on the dunya, but focusing on the soul and the soul's return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one thing for sure, life is very short. And the older you get, the more you realize just how short life is. And, you know, we're returning to Allah before we know it. And we want that to be a good return to our Lord and Creator, where Allah is pleased with us and that we attain the object of life, attaining the object of life. Okay. So tonight we're going to be working from an article, and it's entitled Friday Sermon, and the title of it is Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage by Murtad, Murtad. Okay. And you can Google that and find it and pull it up as we go through this article. And we're going to go through trials in life for sure. And regardless of how we choose of the mate that we are married to, we're going to go through some changes. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some tests. All these things are designed to help us grow. That's Allah working with us. Allah working with us to help produce another level of worship, more clarity, wisdom, expanding our breath, elevating us. Giving us an opportunity to strive so that we can be rewarded in the striving. You know, so for these reasons, it's just very important, vitally important, that we choose wisely and we guard our souls and our family in the process. It's not just us marrying someone. We're marrying into another family, and two families are joining together. So, inshallah, we want to make the best decision possible. So, I am away from the board. I don't see any hands raised. So, Bina, if you can let me know if there's a hand raised, if you're watching the board, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Will do.
Okay. All right, so this article starts out, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most merciful, most compassionate. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation. May he extol the messenger in the highest company of angels and send his peace and blessings upon him, likewise upon his family, companions, and true followers. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, love, friendship, tranquility, harmony, and most importantly, trust are the foundations of a good Muslim marriage. Okay, that's love, friendship, tranquility, harmony, and most importantly, trust are the foundations of a good Muslim marriage. In Islam, when a man and woman marry, they vow to each other that they would love and respect the holy tie of marriage. This implies that they should follow their word and maintain as much transparency as possible in their partnership. Building, gaining, and maintaining trust, or amana in Arabic, is a complex endeavor that takes a lifetime of labor. Allah Almighty says in the Noble Quran. In this Quranic verse, the phrase firm covenant alludes to marriage. And that verse is Holy Quran, Surah 4, 21. So the phrase firm covenant alludes to marriage. Marriage is a binding contract of fidelity. A woman entrusts herself to a man simply because she believes in the strength of the bond. If a man breaks a covenant of his own free choice, he has no right to take back the sum he promised his wife as a bridal, as a bride, due to the time of the agreement. The foundation of your Islamic marriage contract is trust. It is what binds the hearts and souls of two different, sometimes seemingly incompatible people together. It is what helps you understand your life's needs, partners' preferences, and annoyances. It is what keeps you and your spouse going when stress, arguments, financial distress, anxiety, and external inferences hit your relationship. And it is what Allah Almighty asks us to have in Him for a final result, and that is that trust in Allah. Allah Almighty is displeased when something is shattered. And that is from Ali ibn Abi Talib, rahimahullah alayh. Breaking vows makes people unhappy and displeases Allah. He actually has here that, and Allah Almighty is angry, but I choose the wording that it displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truthfulness and trust were surprisingly the key attributes that drew Khadija, rahimahullah alayh, that drew Khadija to Prophet Muhammad.
You're doing fine, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah. My mouse got ahead of me. Trying to find my place. Okay. May Allah be pleased with her. This drew Khadija to our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These features underpin the interaction between the first two Muslims in Mecca. Okay. Truthfulness and trust. Very, very important foundational attributes. Okay, the word trust in marriage has lost significance in today's culture. Infidelity is rising, and some individuals are losing faith in their relationships. In such circumstances, it is prudent to consult the Quran, Allah's guidance, and the hadiths of the Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We must also recognize that while love is transient, appearing and disappearing for a while, the marriage tie is holy and must be safeguarded. As a result, defend yourself, protect yourself from going wrong in your marriage and being a target for the shaitan, who wants nothing more than to sabotage our beautiful unions. Remember that when a husband and wife argue, it should be a conflict between them and the shaitan, not between themselves. Both the husband and the wife must work together to build trust in their marriage relationship. Both parties should avoid doing anything that can raise suspicion between them. Should not, for example, compliment another woman in front of his wife. Similarly, the wife should not compliment another man in front of her husband. Such words, which may appear minor at the moment, might lead to greater disasters and tragedies in the marriage, since it is easy for the shaitan to mislead you and instill doubt in your hearts and instill doubt. Remember that the shaitan is a seasoned professional who has broken marriages, instilled distrust, and damaged relationships in the past. Allowing yourself to become his next target is a bad idea. In the absence of her spouse, women should not welcome another man into the house, and the same for men. Respected brothers and sisters, it is critical to establish trust and loyalty with your partner. It helps a lot to keep negativities and suspicions out of the way, but it also helps to have an optimistic mindset. Tell your wife how much you love her. Treat your husband like a king. Tell your wife that she is valuable to you, and wish your husband a wonderful day. Such actions boost the degree of trust between couples and are, in fact, the foundations for a relationship free of any loyalty concerns. May Allah Almighty guide us in our marriages down the road of loyalty and affection. Ameen.
Ameen.
Ameen. And let's see. You have any comments so far, Bina, on anything?
Yes, we can go all the way back up to the top. yep, I do. So when he says at the very beginning that, and I didn't write this down, but I'm going back up to the article because I was reading along as you were reading. It was a part where, oh gosh. Well, let's just go with what we finished because I'd have to go back and look. I didn't write it down, like I said. So,
okay.
I think he's making some great points when it comes to marriages. That was the first time I've ever heard anything about, you know, when we have a problem, it's between us and Shaitan. And
mm-hmm.
not between ourselves. And that's something I would have to ponder on a little while for me to really kind of get that. Because, well, I understand we all have our gins, and we're working on them. But that for me, I don't know. That's something that I'd have to ponder on. I can't say it's true. I can't say it's false. I have to ponder on that. But it was mentioning, well, the whole thing about, I know when it goes back to it, when it says that when trust had been broken, then the man shouldn't try to, I guess, get back something he had been given, given to her.
Oh, yeah, when he breaks the contract. Mm-hmm. And then when he breaks that contract and goes back, it's basically going back on the covenant.
He has no right. Right, he has no right to take back the sum he promised his wife as a bridal due at the time of the agreement. My comment on that is that that if a man breaks the covenant of his own free choice, he has no right to take anything back. He has no right to take anything back, period. Nor does he have a right to really be demanding anything from his wife, period, if he broke the contract. And that means it's like, well, something has been diminished there, and he just kind of lost a specific right, and that was not one that he should ask for anything back, not just any bridal due, but anything. And that he should really be asking Allah for forgiveness. It's not, because it's not, when he breaks the covenant, like our marriages belong to Allah. Yes. If the spouse was hurt in that situation, yes, I think he should apologize. But I think his most humble forgiveness and ask for humility and repentance should be to his Lord, and his actions should reflect that, you know, because trust is a very hard thing to reestablish after it's been broken, and only Allah can mend a situation when that's happened. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say about that.
Yeah. And I thought of something along similar lines when reading that the only reason that the woman agrees is the strength of the contract. She feels that she will be safe with what's been promised to her or given to her, or what's been said to her. She feels as though she's entering into a safe union, and that she would be protected, you know. So when you think about that, and the same for men, men think and feel as though, okay, I'm getting this wife. She's going to be a good wife to me. She's going to protect my interest. She's going to look out for me. She's not going to cause me loss, increase. So we both, men and women, go into marriage with a contract, optimistically, feeling safe, secure, and what we are saying to each other, what we're demonstrating, and what is written in the contract. Now, if either man or woman goes into the marriage and just disregards that, then that's a very high level of deceit. Because if you just disregard it like that, did you ever really mean anything you said in the first place? Was it real? Was it truthful? Was it honest? And what just were your intentions in the process? And now you have to think about all the people that could be hurt by this act, all the people who were happy at your Nika, cheering you on, feeling joy and happy that our marriage is taking place, and the families coming together, happy that the marriage is taking place. So the impact of a decision to just disregard this very favorable blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a huge impact, ripple effects. It does not just hurt the person who is receiving, on the receiving end of the disregarding of the marriage contract, but it has a ripple effect throughout the community as well, you know. And when I was saying before in the intro that we're living in a time where the concern for humanity, or being concerned for people on the human level, seems to be diminishing. Only Allah knows to the degree. But on the scale that we're seeing it, it's just very, it's something that we should really recognize as something that is in the atmosphere. And we can see it all right now with, we right in the middle of battlefields, we right in the middle of conflicts, we right in the middle of disagreements. Everybody's got a phone recording and seeing all these things, and that acting in a human capacity with a high level of humanity is in the environment. So when I think that when he says that it's a fight between the shaitan, because when we have a disagreement and we don't go to Allah with our disagreement and Allah's messenger with our disagreement to solve it and submit to what is true, that's the only way a conflict is going to continue. Now it's a fight between the couple and the shaitan. You know, because for some reason we haven't submitted to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and the model of our Prophet Muhammad has shown us. We haven't submitted to that. If we submit to that, the conflict is gone. But the conflict is now still on the table, then it becomes a different kind of fight. If we,
yes, and I think you hit it.
Yeah, yeah. If we've done what Allah tells us to do, is to consult Allah and His Messenger. Those are our instructions.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so, you know, we're
being
manipulated. Yeah, yeah. And that's what I would glean from that statement. Because when we submit to Allah, and the motto of our Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that should be an end to any dispute or conflict we have. All right? So we are at the top of the hour, and we are going to take a pause for the calls. And if you have any thoughts on anything that we have gone over in this article, please feel free to press 1. And we'll be happy to hear from you when we return from this station break. So we're going to ask you, and we have a caller lined up in the queue, a couple of callers lined up in the queue. So we're going to take a quick pause. We'll be right back. So you all stay right there, and we'll be right back with you, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of Eyes on Our Community, asking you to join me in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360 with your tax-deductible gift. Log on today at cwsc.us and click on the donate button or call in your pledge at 910-317-0297. Help build a national intelligentsia and let's keep American Muslim 360 strong and ready to remake the world. Thank you.
And we are back, and of course you're listening to us right here on American Muslim 360, number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. And you are listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. Your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. So we're going to take our two callers in the order that they called in. We're going to go to 727-408. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah for the show. And Sister Bina and Sister Munira. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
I want to make sure I say Sister Bina's name first, you know, so
first,
I know,
yeah,
I know. I can get that. See, I can hold that. So then I messed up with you, man. Excuse me, Sister. Praise be to Allah. You know,
no problem.
Yeah, I see you and Bina, alhamdulillah, y'all in good, y'all in real one real good situation that I just want to mention. But y'all have the collective whole and all of it though. But you know, finances is
so,
one of the biggest causes of divorce. So alhamdulillah that you know y'all established, and I praise be to Allah. There's something I wrote I'd like to share. Wake up before we die. Truth isn't a lie. Corruption by nature cannot survive. Reflect on the best in the natural creation. Allah will give us the best perception. One creator, one humanity. Shirk is the road leading to insanity. The sociobiotic body will swallow us up. And God, we must totally trust. Where is our salvation? It's in our submission to our Lord. Study the Quran and do what we are taught. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Work for the liberation of mankind. Revelation enlightened. And him, the need to share what came to his soul and mind. Imam Muhammad was a liberator. He was very comfortable with what he received from Allah. That was one of the reasons he told us we would never stop. Business life isn't the same as a job. He didn't tell us a lie. Let's wholeheartedly give our religion a try. Allah is all forgiving and merciful. Stop being ungrateful and be more thankful. God is over what we discuss, why we sit at the conference table. Our community life must become stable. Mutual consultation would help us to achieve more, to provide our children with the best environment for their education. We must come together collectively and not be satisfied with a corner grocery store. Think about the needs of others. We should love and trust one another. We can pray together, but we won't buy and respect the self-work of each other. When we are weak, we will easily suffer defeat. Poverty will become our legacy. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. You can definitely sum a topic up in a few words. That's just a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Allahu akbar. Okay, we're going to 321-917. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Peace and blessings to you, Munira and Sister Bina. Wonderful program. And, you know, I was listening to the commentary on the topic and as well cautious and warning about keeping the relationship strong and being trustworthy and truthful. So I just wanted to chime in. And, you know, I had been so busy working on numerous activities, and I forgot to be a little thoughtful with my wife, Munira. So I thought I would give her a gift.
Oh. I give her a gift today.
Chime into this wonderful program. And I wanted to give it to it on this program. I wish I had this 2020 vision, but I wanted to see that response.
All right. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So, alhamdulillah. I really appreciate it. Alhamdulillah.
Yes. So that's okay, all. I just wanted to share that on this special night and this special day, and this is a special night for us. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
And thanks for a wonderful program.
All right. This is so much appreciated. And I don't know if Brenda might have to start talking.
Well, yes.
I'm just smiling so much.
Yes.
So tell them what your gift is, Sister Manira. Tell them your gift.
Yes, that's the next question.
Well, I have a beautiful plant and a box of chocolates. So, alhamdulillah.
Very much appreciated.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
That's beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so let's go to our next callers then, so
yes.
We can, yes, give
Munir a chance. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show. We're at 636-980.
Yes, this is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri, and I extend the greetings of peace to everyone, of assalamu alaikum, the peace that only Almighty God can give. Boy, you really have latched on to something here. What you are reading, the brother that wrote that, what you are reading from, and his statement is that the disagreement and the argument is between you and the shaitan.
Mm-hmm.
I see the connection with him saying that.
Yes. Expound on that,
you know,
for us.
Right. Okay. In Islamic terminology, the marriage is called a nikah. And nikah translates into a tie or a knot. A knot. I learned from Imam Muhammad just last night as I was sharing the Ramadan session that he held in 1999 in Virginia. And Imam Muhammad explained what it means in the Quran, where he tells us to seek refuge with him from those who practice secret arts. And in the subject of the secret arts, we read those that blow on knots. Those that blow on knots, K-N-O-T-S. And the marriage is considered a knot. He says that the knot represents the commitment that you have made, the resolute commitment that you have made. And if you're not careful, the shaitan, he's so subtle, he's so sneaky, he can inject thoughts into your thinking without you knowing it. And over time, you find yourself in a position where you have left the resolutions that you have resolved that you would hold to. The knot has become very loose.
Mm.
Your commitment has become very loose. And Allah tells us to seek refuge with him. So in the nikah, in the knot of marriage, the shaitan comes at us, but it's so subtle you won't even know that he's there. And in time, when you finally come to your consciousness, you say, what am I doing here? How did we get to this place? How did I get here? What? So when the brother said, the argument is not between you and that person. The shaitan is there. That's where the disagreement is. The commitments that you've made, he so subtly have loosened and untied that commitment, the blowing of knots, the whisperer of evil. So I was so grateful to have read that, because that had, had been a question for me. What does that mean? Seek refuge with those that practice secret arts, those that blow on knots. So I'm grateful for that understanding that the Imam has shared with us. The knot is the commitments that we have made. And if you're not careful, if you don't seek refuge with Allah, in time you wake up one day, you come to your consciousness, and how did we get here? Bickering and arguing and this, how did we get here? How did we get here? It happens so subtly. So I can agree with the brother's statement that the argument is not between you and that person. It's between you and the shaitan. He have loosened the knot, the commitment, the resolve that you had, that you made. In everything, Imam Muhammad have suggested to us, in everything, seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. He's so subtle. Yes. He's too much for us. Too much for us. So we seek refuge with Allah. And we want to tighten the commitments that we made, the resolve that we express from our heart and our soul. So I'll stop right there. This is a wonderful broadcast that you are sharing, my sister. So
thank you. Thank you for your commentary. Thank you for your commentary, because as you were speaking, I was thinking about how they used to teach us to tie knots in school and different types of knots as well. But the purpose of those knots were to hold things in place. To hold things in place and to secure.
That Allah is to
And to secure things. So alhamdulillah, that's a very, very good insight that you shared. So we appreciate that. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. I want to truly acknowledge Imam Delaysa Ummah. You see how you see how he became aware, wait a minute now. I'm going a little bit too far in this work project. So the shaitan is, and I'm glad that my brother shared that. As men, we have to be conscious, stay conscious, and admit, you know, we're all human. Praise be to Allah. So what he shared has really endeared him in my heart. I'll stop right there. May you and Imam DeLacy and all of us, everyone that is married, keep the knot tight, the commitment that we made. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay. And we have a returning caller, 727-408. Welcome back to the show.
Alhamdulillah. This is something for Sister Bina and Brother Adam. Education is still number one. We should be more concerned about our daughters and sons. Sister Clara Muhammad School is our foundation. We are gambling with our children's lives and serve through God to help them, help us make the sacrifice. Nowhere to run to. We aren't trying to escape. It's about our trust and faith. As we read the Quran, as it relates to our life, then maybe it will motivate us to make the sacrifice. Something is definitely wrong. There's serious reason why we continue to sing the same old song. It's their fault, not mine. Shaitan is doing overtime. We must utilize the power that we have been blessed with. Brother Thomas showed us that we were too legit to quit. We must continue to make rational choices and respect our ability to reason. Let our children know that it's their season. Mutual consultation will improve our family situation. Our gray hairs and poor health is a sign that we are close to our transition. We will stay committed to the mission. Our children will get the best education. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Yes, inshallah. Very important.
Yes.
Our imam say education is our number one priority. So, yes, sir. That's what we're working on.
Okay. Allahu Akbar. Okay, so we're going to return to our article. And in this article, Brother lists 21 fundamental building blocks for a strong and sharing of values. It is highly recommended that faith play an important role in the development of a loving relationship. Because, let's see, my article came down. Can you see number one on your article, Bina?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Can you read that, please?
Yes. He says, faith. Al-Islam is a way of life and not just a religion confined to weekly worship. It becomes an integral part of a Muslim's life. The frame of reference shared by the couple eases communication and sharing of values. It's highly recommended that faith play an important role in the development of a loving relationship. For example, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when a husband feeds his wife, he gets a reward for this act. Allah increases the bond of love between them. So, when we love each other for the sake of Allah, we actually increase our faith.
Alhamdulillah. And you get an opportunity. You get a married couple gets the opportunity to do that every day. Every day to build and increase our faith through sadaqa, acts of kindness, looking out for each other. You know, it's just truly a blessing and such a rich life. Can you imagine I can imagine it. I mean, being alone by yourself and not interacting. Now, most of my life that I was single, I was not alone. I was raising 6 children, so I was always working and taking care of people and just as single mothers do, you know. But for the father that's not with his family, that's not providing these blessings are not coming through him to the family, you're missing out on so much and so many opportunities to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be increased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells us not to fear. We fear finances and not having enough finances, but that's a concern we take to Allah too. And Allah tells us what? He will bless us from His far-reaching bounty. Allah will bless us from His far-reaching bounty. So we should never feel destitute, that Allah will not bless us, because Allah has stated that He would. You know, but the opportunity to be in a family situation and to be married and live every day with a husband or a wife, performing acts of kindness, worshiping together, studying together, doing good for other people together, and looking out for neighbors together. All these opportunities are opportunities for us to receive blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do this for the sake of Allah, as stated in the article, we actually increase our faith. So all praise is due to Allah. You know, making life better for the other person. And isn't this what our prophets did? May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon them. You know, many of our prophets went through hardships and heavy tests and trials to set the example and to bring revelation and study, to learn, to share, to improve the lives of others. So we all get to do that with each other in a family. So just very important what's being said here. When we love each other for the sake of Allah, we actually increase our faith, and along with that, our good deeds. So, alhamdulillah. We have any callers in the queue? Okay,
I think it's a returning caller.
Okay,
we have
yes.
636.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a returning caller. Welcome back to the show, 636-980.
Yes, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I was thinking earlier today, Allah says to us in the Quran, highly praised be He, and most merciful is He, that the husband and the wife are a covering for each other. They are mm-hmm. a covering for each other. And I was thinking that when the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he went through a very traumatic experience, a very traumatic experience that caused him to even doubt his sanity.
Mm-hmm.
When the angel Jibril spoke to him inside of the cave, the first revelations, we can't imagine what that did to him mentally, spiritually, and physically. He was discombobulated, I'm quite sure. And when he left the cave, where did he go? He went to his wife.
Yes.
And entered their home in a very traumatic state.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he ask her to do?
Cover me.
He said, cover me. So these are signs to us. The great lady Khadija, may Allah forgive her sins and grant her the highest station in paradise, she covered him. But that was a physical, I'm quite sure, a physical covering. But she didn't stop there. She was concerned about his state,
uh-huh.
the trauma that he was going through. And she even covered that. In that, she took him to Waraqah, Mm-hmm. Her uncle that was educated in the ways of scriptural knowledge and the history of spirituality. And Waraka shared with them his insight that no, Muhammad, you are not insane.
Mm-hmm.
You are Allah's messenger. So she covered him twice, physically
yes.
covered him, and then covered what was happening inside of him, his emotions, his spirituality. She covered
mm-hmm.
both areas. So let that be a sign to us, inshallah, as we
inshallah.
Enter these relationships. I'll stop at that, my sister. Thank you. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. You know, and also before she went and got Waraka, she told Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Allah would not humiliate you. You are a trustworthy, good person. Allah will not humiliate you. What you saw was real. Then she went and got reinforcements and explained to him that, yes, you did receive revelation. But she did comfort him and reassured him that, first, I believe you, and I believe that this happened because Allah would not humiliate you like this. So all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think this shows... This shows the importance of having a believing spouse that understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the plan of Allah for humanity. You know, because this was a time of pagan worship. So he didn't marry a pagan. He married a believing woman. So all praise is due to Allah. And there is a lesson in that as well. So... Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And we have another caller. We're going to go to 347-751. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sister Munira. This is Sister Mohassan Abdul Salam from New York.
Welcome. Welcome. Yeah,
well,
and
you
keep
so
your
much.
Covers handy. Keep your covers handy up there. I hear you all are expecting some snow.
We were blessed today. We've been praying all winter. No snow, no snow. And Allah has been so merciful to us. But today we got 3, 4, 5 inches within
oh.
a span of 4 or 5 hours. But Allah is so merciful. In the afternoon, the temperature went up, and it rained, and it diminished the snow. So now,
alhamdulillah.
So,
yeah.
Allah says, with every difficulty comes ease. No, I am just so touched by the conversation. I love to listen in on you. Your program is so informative. I love being the fly on the wall, right?
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah.
To think and reflect about situations that we, those who are striving to be aware, knowledgeable, God conscious, and all what perspective that is healing and helpful. And I find that many of the comments on your program do that. So it reminded me just now when you were talking about the example of Khadija and the fact that after she hired Prophet Muhammad before they were married to be her manager of her business, he was reported to have caused the business to increase and excel uncommonly, his first trip out with the caravan. So she knew that, and she was inclined to complete something else that she felt was missing, and that was a mate of like nature. So she didn't, waste her time. She took it to the next step and had her scout, her assistant, go to Prophet Muhammad and ask him about his interest to be married. The other thing that, and we know how that ended up, alhamdulillah, the other thing that touched me was the woman who lived in Abyssinia, and the king there, she practiced her faith. She was single. She had been divorced. And for 10 years, she was there in Abyssinia, separated, okay? And the king asked Prophet Muhammad, the Negus, asked Prophet Muhammad about her, that he noticed that she had a business or something. She's very productive, but she was alone and single. And the king inquired about Prophet Muhammad seeking a mate for her or talking with her himself. And it was an Allah-approved connection, because when Prophet Muhammad went to visit and inquire about her desire to get married, she began to quote concerns that she had for ways that she had encountered specific positions in her life. She'd gotten used to being single, and she felt she had probably some shortcomings that a husband wouldn't be inclined to want to marry her. And as she delineated those shortcomings, which she felt were shortcomings, it was so beautiful the way that Prophet Muhammad empathized with her, because he began to share similar shortcomings in himself. And he said he would be interested in marrying her so that, as a believer, her faith could be complete, right?
Yes, she can grow in faith, yes.
Yes, yes, and that, you know, we say that when we're unmarried, we're absent half of our demonstration, 50% of our faith practices. We can't have access to that until we are married, because that completes the relationship. So as it ended up, he did marry her. She surrendered, submitted, and she was inclined to be encouraged by him. Let's work on those things together, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like we say now, kill two birds with one stone, but enliven two lives with one act. And for marriage, this is something that I think is very important. Sister Manira, you said something about wealth and being fearful of being able to support, but you were right. Allah said in the Quran that don't worry, for the women especially, because it's a concern. Can this man support me? Can he provide me a quality of life that I should have? And can he elevate my status as a believer? And Allah cautions the woman. He said, don't let the fear of the lack of his financial capacity cause you to step away from considering marriage, because as you said, Munira, Allah promised, I'll provide for both of you.
Yes.
I will provide for him and upgrade him. And this is something that I've experienced in my life. Allah's promise is true. So I will stop right there, but I just wanted to share and tell you how much I appreciate this discussion. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for calling in. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, and we appreciate mm-hmm. your participation. So, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We have another return caller. We're going to go back to 321-917. Welcome back to the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. I was thinking about part of the lecture or the reading where I think you covered it, but I just wanted to re-emphasize the small kindnesses. And we did a program about that a few weeks ago on Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, where we talked about enhancing the spirit to be kind to, and the prophet, peace be upon him, he said that giving a kind word is a charity. He talked about the things that were charities. And I was listening and reflecting on what Sister Mohassan brought to the table in terms of the 50% of the belief in Allah is half of the deen, then marriage completes the religion. And I was just thinking about how that was so. And the author highlighting so many opportunities to share, to be kind, to work with someone, all of the things that bring benefit to the person. And just during the course of a day, the opportunities that you encounter to show all of these kindnesses to another person and your mate, et cetera, et cetera. I thought that was just a remarkable example of the opportunity that marriage provides. And all of the just speaking a kind word and being considerate and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all sadaqa, sadaqa, sadaqa. So many mm-hmm. opportunities. And I just wanted to share that thought with the audience and just reiterate it and enhance it more in my mind to be more kind and to be more considerate. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for those statements. And we all can do this and take advantage of these opportunities to increase the small kindnesses and the consistent. Allah loves the thing that we do on a consistent basis, even if you give a small amount of zakat, if you don't have the funds and you continue to give a small amount and you give it consistently. Allah loves that. So the things that we do consistently, that means that we're consciously bringing Allah to focus to complete this task that we have said we would do, and we do it on a consistent basis. So it's an opportunity for us all to improve in this area with our husbands, with our wives, with the wives, with each other, brother and sister. And imagine that affecting the community and the community life. When I moved here to Florida, I had to get used to the small kindnesses that people show. Say, the lady is carrying a package. They say, oh, I got this for you. I'll carry this, And I'm like, you sure you want to let go of that package? Because I'm from Chicago, right? So I'm like, well, when we go to Chicago, I don't think you should be so quick to hand over your packages like that, because I can't chase nobody, but it's the conditioning of the environment. So if we introduce these small kindnesses into the environment, and of course, I'm being humorous, we do kind of read people and feel people out with spirits and stuff. So there are good people in Chicago. I don't want to give the wrong impression. But the amount of small kindnesses that I see here in Florida and the environment are greater than they were in other areas that I lived in. So what we do individually can really affect humanity. And if we think of it that way and we start out in our homes, because according to all of our scriptures and all of our teachings that we had prior to Al-Islam, one that we all heard many times was charity starts at home, then spreads abroad. So we start in our homes with taking these opportunities and demonstrating that to each other as spouses and are modeling this for our children. You might create 6-7 individuals that have this type of impact on society. So, you know, it's not to be taken lightly. So I just wanted to say that. And we're going to take a quick PSA. I've only played 2 so far this evening, so we're going to get another PSA in. And then we're going to come back to our list and read some more of this list. So please stick and stay with us. We'll be right back with you.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. It supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong, improve indigestion, decrease infection, remove inflammation, and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we are back, alhamdulillah. And we have another returning caller. We'll go to the caller at 347-751. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, thank you, Sister Manira. I just wanted to get the author of those 21 fundamental building blocks in loving relationships, or the connection,
yes,
of how we can assess that.
Sure. This author, the name is Murtadha, Murtadha Ghusan, Ghusan. The article is dated November 25th, 2022. Okay, and the title of the article is Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage. Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Allah, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So we're going to go back to the article now and go to number two on the list of 21. And number two is forgiving. And it states, when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked his companions, "Do you wish that Allah should forgive you?" They said, "Of course, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He responded, "Then forgive each other." One of the main components of a happy marriage is that the spouses are able to forgive, that they do not hold grudges or act judgmental towards each other. It is expected that when we live with someone, situations may arise when we say or do things that hurt our spouses. The challenge is not to dwell on it or lay blame, but to move past it. This can only happen if we are not too proud to ask for forgiveness, and we are not too stingy to forgive. So I like the last part of that especially, that we are not too stingy to forgive. Forgiving someone is a generous act. It's a generous act. And, you know, some people can hold on to things for years. Oh, well, 20 years ago they did this or they did that. And, you know, like you're keeping it on life support or something. Like it just can't die a natural death. You're going to remember it, you know, down to the date. But I think the generous part of this is each of us developing the concept that we're striving on Allah's path, on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. None of us are without fault. And if I have hurt you, it was not my intention. Someone else has hurt me before. It probably was not their intention either to do it, but it happened. But we're striving. I pray that that person is not repeating the infraction and we let it go, because we're all striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And having that generosity with your mate is a healing. And it's you putting that out there. Maybe Allah will bless your spouse in a way where they're elevated and they understand things on their own, even without you saying anything. Allah has the power to do that. Speaks of the woman who pleads, who takes matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we can't really fix people or change people, but Allah can come in between a person and their heart. Allah can elevate a person's understanding. Allah can expand a person and bless them to grow. Allah can increase a person in knowledge whenever he wills. Okay, so when you kind of look at it, for us to stay in that moment of whatever happened that you have to forgive, to keep it alive, to stay in that moment, is almost to say, oh, you'll never change, you'll never understand, you'll never grow. You'll never get it. You'll never see it. All those nevers, 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 nevers. But Allah is the guardian evolver. Allah is the guardian evolver. None of us got it or came here with it. We're all evolving stage by stage. Allah is evolving us. We've been evolving since the first breath, since birth, and we're continuing to evolve. So we want to leave room for that evolvement in our understandings and not be stingy to forgive. You know, but take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray to Allah about it and see how Allah works it out. See how Allah works it out. So just a very important concept, especially the last part of that, not to be stingy with forgiveness, but to be generous with forgiving someone. Okay? And if there's escalation and escalation in this particular area, yeah, of course, it has to be addressed. And I'm not talking about anything abusive. We're talking about the mistakes that are made unintentionally. Okay? Abusive situations, dangerous situations, Allah's earth is spacious. We have to remove ourselves from those situations. But things that are done unintentionally, they may cause us pain and discomfort. We have to be generous with that and definitely discuss it if it's something that continues to happen or evolves or starting to get worse. So 347-751, I see your hand is raised again, or did you forget to press 1? Your mic is open.
I think I forgot to press 1. Thank you.
All right.
Let me just interject this, though, since I wasn't expecting you to open it. I'm really, really impacted by your comments and encouragement. You know, one of the things that I hold close as a guard against holding a grudge is to remember that Allah said that no one who carries a lurking sense of injury can enter the paradise. When I first heard that, I said, what? You mean even if we maintain hard feelings about an experience we had with someone, we don't try to reconcile or maintain it? You know, in this society, they say, Munira, people are carrying baggage, right? Got baggage, got issues that have not been resolved.
Resolved, yes.
It makes you think about, again, anything that may be lurking and feel like a sense of injury unresolved. So let's try to do that. That's why I work in the area of coaching and accelerated healing, because we're trying to unseat embedded trauma that people may or may not even know that they're carrying. But if we can identify it and help them uproot it, then it makes it, their burdens lighter in life, if not totally eradicated. I'll stop right there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your comments. Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, Bina, we're at the top of the hour. We're at the 9 o'clock. We have a little grace period, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to make any comments that you'd like to make, and take your time. You don't need to rush. Okay, on the topics that we've discussed tonight.
Yes, I agree. What you were saying is so powerful, and Sister Mahasan was saying, I mean, I was just sitting here learning and taking it in, And, you know, we go through things. I think that we go through things. This in this program, it's like a healer. You know, it, in being sincere to the process, if one's listening, it's a healer to hear the things that are being said, because what you're saying is what Allah wants, and Allah is such a great healer. Even in what you were reading, there was still another comment behind that in terms of forgiving. The last, very last comment in that was, if we expect Allah to forgive us, then we must learn to forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that even, I mean, we have to fight among ourselves to be able to do that. Because, you know, a person say, oh, well, not Allah, I can't do that. But, well, no, but if we're trying to please Allah, we're looking to follow the model that was given to us by our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And we have to push past all those little personal things that we want to hold on to. Like what it was you mentioned, we can't let things just die a natural death. I had to chuckle when you said that, how we hold on to things.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. But, you know, we as people, we do. We're not human, and we do like to hold on to things. But, you know, that was powerful what Sister Mahasan said about having things that are lurking, that were that brought about another understanding that, I mean, it'll lift a burden. If a person is being sincere, it can lift a burden just as easy as hearing it and just obeying Allah if we truly believe. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the show here is a healing with all the comments that were made by all those who called in. And the love that was shared with Amanda Lacey, the poems that were shared with, from Brother Bilal, all of those make for a positive reflection on what it is that we're supposed to do here with our marriages. And it's truly possible to have a wonderful marriage if... Oh, I'm sorry. I just realized my volume was down all the time. But it's possible to have a beautiful marriage if we believe in Allah, if we truly believe, if we both believe in Allah, if we're both working towards that end, if we're both looking to please Allah, we can truly have a successful and blissful marriage. And thank you for sharing this article, because it is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. And I did come to understand what he was talking about when he mentioned that about Shaitan. He was saying, remember that when a husband and a wife argue, it should be a con between them and the Shaitan and not between themselves. Meaning mm-hmm. that each person, to me, that after reading that several times, it meant to me that, yeah, that should be something that a person will take up with the Shaitan, meaning they kind of take that up with themselves. What is it that they're possibly holding on to that won't allow them to get to what Allah wants and in pleasing Allah?
Yeah.
And they're struggling with what you know, what is holding them back from Allah, and that is with the Shaitan. And it no, mm-hmm. it should not be a conflict with amongst themselves. It should not, and we do not want it to be a conflict that way. So if a person is going to be honest with themselves and be a true believer, then they'll submit and understand that, yes, that is something that needs to be worked out, because Allah has already given us the tools and giving mm-hmm. us the things that we need to work out these situations if we only believe, if we believe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's given us the answers to the test. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. what more can we ask for? So all praise to Allah. Yeah. Right. So thank you for your comments, and we pray that this show has been beneficial, and we'll pick back up next week with this article. And I'll say the name of the article again. The article is entitled Friday Sermon, Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage by Murtad Gusa. Okay? So pull that article up, and we'll continue with this article next week, inshallah, where we will be on number 3 after faith and forgiveness. We'll embark on number 3 listed in the article. So we look forward to spending next Tuesday with you. So please, and next, number 3 is forget. Number 2 was forgive. Number 3 is going to be forget. So we look forward to you being here with us next week, and come back and join us and bring a friend with you to share in this topic. You know, it's within our power to, it's within our means to be happy, to have a successful marriage if we do what Allah has instructed us to do. Okay? We have the means to be successful and happy in our relationships. So we want you to not forget this show tomorrow morning. And make sure you tune in to this show that is here on AM 360 every Wednesday morning, The Female Solution.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're going to give our salams now before we tune in to Brother Wali Ali, just in case we run out of time on tonight's program. We're going to extend to you the greetings of peace, of assalam wa alaikum, until next week.
Count him out. Faith wins over doubt. loving, loving thee, made him brave enough to go on.
Fearing thee,
fearing thee, was what made him brave enough to go on and face the world.
Brave enough to face the world.
A country man did, came up from the rear.
Loving
cut him out, things went over down. Firmly maybe they making it like
all the Lord to made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, we have a few seconds, so we wanted to extend the greetings of peace to the radio audience of Assalamu Alaikum, and we pray that you'll be back here with us next week. So not until next week, for all time. All right. We fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that you have a great, productive week, and that we increase our small acts of kindness towards each other.
Amen.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.